Hello, my name is Bailey Stevens. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm here today to talk to you about a man named Hiel. In the days of Joshua, the Israelites crossed the Jordan River to inherit their promised land. The first task was to take the fortified city of Jericho with its famous and mighty walls. God instructed his people to march around the city daily for 7 days, and on the last day, they were to march around the city 7 times, shout, blow their trumpets, and God himself would collapse the walls. The Israelites did exactly what God commanded. And once the walls fell, God's instructions were to kill every living thing inside and burn the city to the ground. And in the smoking ruins of Jericho, God planted a curse on the fallen city. And you can find that in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. Joshua laid an oath on them at the time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up his gates." Some scholars believe God intended the ruins of Jericho to serve as a visual reminder of his faithfulness. God himself had destroyed Jericho, and God himself did not want it to be rebuilt. Yet despite God's warning, over 500 years later, during the reign of King Ahab and Jezebel, a man by the name of Hiel was charged with to rebuild the city. Despite the warning that any man who rebuilt Jericho would lose 2 sons, Hiel accepted the task. And here's what happened. You can find it in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. In his days, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. God's promise had remained true, and Hiel paid the price of disobedience. But what can we learn from this relatively unknown man? Well, number one, we can learn that God's word will always come true. Over 500 years had passed since God's curse on the city, and yet God's word came true for Hiel. Hiel's oldest son died when construction began, and his youngest son died when it finished. The life of Hiel followed God's word to the letter. 2 sons died. They died at the right time, and they died in the right order. Not one aspect of the curse had passed away in over 5 whole centuries. God's word was true then, and his word is true now. Psalm 19 and verse 7, "The testimony of the Lord is sure." And Psalm 89, verse 34, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." The devil will tell people, well, the Bible is out of date, or it's an old book, and it doesn't really apply to modern day. But the story of Hiel teaches us that time does not change the truth of God's word. Time is different to us than it is to God, and that's stated in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. "But do not overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Well, here are some current day examples of where this idea is challenged. God wants his children to dress modestly, yet many will argue that modesty is subjective and doesn't really apply to modern day. God wants the speech of his children to be gracious and seasoned with salt, yet some will argue modern times have different rules for improper language. Others may argue a Christian can participate in any behavior or attend any event, like dances or bars or drinking, because it's only what's in your heart that matters and not the biblical principles of Christ-like living. But the story of Hiel teaches us that not one item changed in God's promise, even though it had been 500 years since it was given. And the same is true for us today. Anyone who believes the promises of the Bible will not come true, or its warnings carry no weight, is foolish. Even though we live thousands of years after the Bible was written, God's word is ever true. And secondly, we can learn that ignorance does not change the truth of God's word. Perhaps Hiel hadn't even heard of this curse. Maybe he was just stubborn and simply thought it wouldn't apply to him. But the truth of God's word does not stop because we claim ignorance. God's truth will be accomplished, either to our benefit or our loss. Despite his ignorance, Hiel had to pay the price for going against God's plan. And sadly, many follow Hiel in this day. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2, "All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his spirit." This is why the Apostle Paul urged us to know God's word, and he urged us to live by its principles in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of the truth. We ignore God's warnings at our own peril. God's word is true and permanent. Nothing can change the events he sets in motion. God's word will always, always, always come true. Time will not stop it, and ignorance will not stop it. God's word and his promises can either be used as a blessing to our life or as a curse. But either way, God's word will forevermore be true. Thank you.
My name is Carter Stevens, and I come from the Brookside Congregation in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about who your friends are. The story of Amnon is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Amnon was the son of King David and the heir to the throne. But Amnon had a dark secret. He was in love with his half-sister, Tamar. He couldn't marry her because they were related, but his feelings for her were so intense that the Bible describes him walking about looking haggard and translated that he looked unwell and exhausted from his suffering. The Bible says that Amnon had no real plans on what to do about his feelings for his half-sister. But this is where one of Amnon's friends comes in. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3, the Bible makes a very outstanding statement, but Amnon had a friend. And his friend, Jonadab, was a much more evil man than himself. The Bible describes him as a crafty man, and he saw an opportunity to please the king's son. So he convinced Amnon to carry out a wicked plan. Upon Jonadab's advice, Amnon maneuvered to be alone with his sister and committed an immoral sin against her wishes. Not only did Amnon shame himself, shame his father, the king, and ruin his sister, but it made Tamar's full brother Absalom angry about what had happened. And a few years later, Absalom eventually cornered Amnon and finally killed him out of pure revenge for the evil done to his sister. The sad story of Amnon really did happen, and it's recorded in 2 Samuel as a warning against the heavy price to be paid if you don't choose your friends here on earth with care. Psychologists tell us that beginning along the age of about 12 and going on up to about 20 or so, that most young people go through a stage where they are very susceptible to peer pressure, from their own age group especially. They call this the age of conformity. Psychologists also tell us that once we get a little older, we grow less afraid to be different and become more independent thinkers. So today, young people especially, if we're going to keep Christ as the king of our lives, we need to take a lesson from Amnon and choose our friends with care, because they can and will influence our lives. Our friends do have an impact on whether we live a faithful life to God or not. The New Testament warns us of this truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, when it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners." Someone has said that God divided man into men so that they might enjoy the friendship of each other. From the beginning, God recognized that man needed friends and companionship. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, God looked at the man he had made and said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmate for him." So he then made Eve. But folks, what exactly is it that we're supposed to do? Because all of us need our friends. I mean, we're literally here in Springfield to worship our Creator with all of our friends who we hardly get to see. But how do we make sure that we keep the right people in our lives who will keep us on the right track spiritually? Here's some suggestions. Number one, have in your own heart a set of fixed principles of the things that you know are right and the things that you know are wrong. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Number two, choose your friends with care because they will influence you. Imagine if Amnon had chosen a different friend. If that was a friend who would help him towards the right direction, Amnon might have grown up, gotten old, had a family. He may have been the best king in Israel's history. But instead, he was slain at the hands of an avenger because of the choice he made, because of who he chose to be his friend. Psalms 18, verse 25 and 26 read, "With the kind and merciful, you will show yourself kind and merciful. And with an upright man, you yourself will be upright." And number three, have the courage to stand alone. The right kind of person can usually find the right kind of friends. But if, however, you find yourself in a situation where you don't have a friend, be ready to stand alone, rather than to buddy with those who would cause you to compromise your principles. The Apostle Paul found himself in this situation in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, when he wrote to Timothy saying, "At my first trial, no one acted in my defense, or took my part, or even stood with me, but all forsook me." And Christ too had to stand alone in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came to take him away to be crucified. Matthew and Mark both recorded, all the disciples forsook him and fled. So be ready to stand alone if the word of God calls for it. And the final rule is, go to the wise for advice. And you see, this is where Amnon messed up. If you have a problem that you're struggling with and you need advice, pick out the most upright Christian that you know and go to them for counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 20, that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So everyone, please, take a lesson from Amnon and choose your friends with care, because it may very well determine where you spend eternity. Thank you.